Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God, and we're talking about ideological subversion, which is a term brought up by Yuri Bezmenov, who was a KGB defector back in 1985. And he was in the business of undermining countries like India and the United States, and he understood the inner workings of the KGB, and they had a very successful plan to weaken and bring down America. And we're looking at it because the spirit of that plan is the spirit of Satan, who has been bringing down Christianity worldwide for 2,000 years, plotting steadily, subversively, to undermine the gospel of the kingdom so that you will not know that you're actually workers of iniquity when you should be the workers of righteousness. There were a lot of tactics used by Satan over the centuries to steadily break down our understanding of the gospel. And Yuri talks about his ideological subversion system used by the Soviets as first demoralize you, second destabilize your society, third create a crisis, and then create a new normal. Well, demoralizing Christianity has been very simple, that it's come along, that it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods through the agency of men who can exercise authority one over the other as long as that is done through government. It's okay to covet those goods, covet benefits from men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. It's okay to do that and still call yourself a Christian, even though Jesus said it was not okay for you to do that and you were not to do it. And it's right still sitting there staring at us in the Bible. Jesus says, thou shalt not covet. God says, thou shalt not covet. Moses says, thou shalt not covet. James says it. Paul says it. And yet you say now it's okay to do it as long as you do it through government. You are not to pray to anybody but the Father for your benefits. You certainly aren't to pray to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. You can ask your neighbor, but you have to depend on faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty, or you will not be free. The only free societies are voluntary societies, societies that take care of the needy of society voluntarily, take care of the needs of society voluntarily, do the work of the church voluntarily, contribute to one another's needs voluntarily. If you're not doing that, you're not following Christ. If you're not following Christ, you must not believe in Christ, because if you believed in Him, you would be doing what He said. It's just that simple. If you believed in Him, you would be drawn to do what He said. If you're doing the opposite of what He said, then you don't really believe in Him. You believe in an idea about Christ that you've made up or somebody else has made up in your head. You have been demoralized because now it's okay. It's okay to divorce. It's okay to covet your neighbor's goods. It's okay to make war on innocent people and kill innocent people. It's okay to produce poisons and feed them to the populations. All the things that, you know, conspiracy theories people are noticing and they're seeing, and I don't want to pick because there are real conspiracies out there, but they're seeing food supplies, water supplies being poisoned, air being poisoned. And they think, oh, well, we've got to stop these guys. But they don't realize the reason these guys are doing this these people are going to church and doing this is because they think they're Christians, just like you do, but they're not. If 10% of Americans were actually Christians, the whole world would turn around. That's right. That's how powerful real Christianity is. But if everybody thinks they're Christians, but they're not, then you're going to get a different result. And that's exactly where we're at. A lot of people want to follow Christ, but they don't know what that means because they haven't been taught the real gospel, even though it's right there in front of them. Constantly, I'm quoting parts of the Bible, quoting Christ, and people who have studied the Bible all their life don't even know where I'm getting this. And it's right in their very Bible. They've read it, but they don't retain it. They can't remember it. You can explain it to them, sit them down, talk to them about it for hours, finally show them and finally convince them, and you go away 2 weeks later, they can't remember the conversation. They're back in the same rut before. I see this over and over again. So what's the solution? Well, you have to repent and act upon that repentance. So anyway, Yuri was talking about this demoralization process in the United States. It's basically completed already. And for the last 25 years, actually, it's over-fulfilled because demoralization now reaches such areas where previously not even Comrade Andropov and all his experts would even dream. They would not even dream of such tremendous success. Most of it done by Americans to Americans, thanks to a lack of moral standards. The church should be bringing in moral standards. But you have famous pastors out there womanizing with young college students. I've mentioned them before. I'm not going to pick on them with names. You got people molesting children who are supposedly pastors, seducing children. And they're allowed to stay in position. I'm not just talking about the Catholic Church here. We have graft and corruption. And the American attitude today lends itself to ending up with leaders that are full of graft and corruption. That is actually the nature of American society is going to draw this, just like in Sodom and Gomorrah. Where's the problem? Now, if you think you can morally change of your own will and your own power, you've already been sucked into the dialectic. You cannot change. You can be changed, but you have to admit you're wrong. You see, we were always told to repent. Repentance has to do with direction. Change your direction. In order to change your direction, you have to see your direction is wrong. You have to see that socialism demoralizes society, and that was the first step. He says, as I mentioned before, exposure to true information does not matter anymore. A person who was demoralized is unable to assess true information. The facts tell nothing to him. Even if I shower him with information with authentic proof, the documents, the pictures, he will refuse to believe it. He cannot believe it. He will not comprehend it. That's the strategy of the situation of demoralization. And of course, that's what happened to Christianity. Suddenly, electing a leader who could exercise authority, whether it was a king or a president or a prime minister, didn't matter. But electing that leader to take that responsibility to make things right for you was okay. That's a demoralized position. Because Samuel clearly states that to want to do that, to want to elect a leader who can exercise authority, no matter how good he is, like Saul, is a rejection of God. You are demoralized already. The fact that you even come up with that idea shows that you have been demoralized, as you have been demoralized since God took you out of Egypt. And that's what he says. Since I took them out of Egypt, they are continuously rejecting me. That is demoralization. to get you to reject God. Now, to get you to reject God and to say you're an atheist, that's a big deal. But to get you to reject God and say that you still believe in God, but you're actually rejecting what he said, that is the ultimate demoralization, because that means you're taking the name of the Lord in vain. You're coveting your neighbor's goods to the agency of government. You're electing men to rule over you instead of God. All these things. People think that Romans 13 promotes the divine right of kings. That's where the modern interpretation of Romans 13 takes you, is to the divine right of kings. If the divine right of kings is true, then we should not have had an American Revolution. We should all start singing God Save the Queen and become a part of the British Commonwealth because we sinned. Is that the case? No. There's something we're missing. Lots of things we're missing. Anyway, he says, as I mentioned before, exposure to information doesn't really matter. He also said, most of the American politicians, media, and educational system train another generation of people who think they are living at the peacetime. False. The United States is in a state of war. Undeclared. Total war against the basic principles and foundations of this system. The initiator of this war is not Comrade Andropov, of course. It's the system. However ridiculous it may sound, it is the world communist system, the world communist conspiracy. Whether I scare some people or not, I don't give a hoot. If you're not scared by now, nothing can scare you. This is Yuri, KGB, telling you. He's laying it out so you can see it, because he realized it was wrong. And see, the only one who's going to hear him, there are going to be people who think they hear him, but the only ones who really hear what he's saying are those that can also hear Christ in their hearts. And they should not really be frightened. They should be aware of the danger, but not terrified. They should, if they are truly repentant, they know what the answer is, or will shortly. So basically, America is stuck with demoralization, he says. Even if you start right now, and this was back in the 1980s, here, this minute, you start educating a new generation of America, it still will take the 15 or 20 years to turn the tide of ideological perceptions of reality back to a normalcy and patriotism. Now, let's not use the word patriotism there. He's using it. I know what he's thinking. Let's use the word righteousness, because that's what Christ was saying. We are to seek the kingdom of God, so patriotic toward God, and the righteousness of God. That should be our normalcy. We don't need a new normalcy. We need that. But that will be a new normalcy to us. Can we go that way? So he talked about the second thing. The next stage was destabilization. This time, the subverter does not care about your ideas and the patterns of your consumption. Whether you eat junk food or get fat or flabby, it doesn't matter anymore. This time, it takes only from 2 to 5 years to destabilize a nation. Once it's been demoralized, what matters are essentials: economy, foreign relations, and defense systems. And you can see it quite clearly that in some areas, in such sensitive areas as defense and economy, the influence of Marxist-Leninist ideas in the United States is absolutely fantastic. I could never believe it 14 years ago when I landed in this part of the world that the process would have gone that fast. Now, we've talked before how the definition of a democracy in the military manual in 1927 was a bad form of government, a wicked, evil form of government, a terrible form of government. But by 1945, at least by 1954, democracy was a good form of government, it's what we're fighting for, etc., etc. Complete reversal, complete turnaround. How did we go completely from one idea back to the other? We didn't repent. We repented of the truth, and we accepted the lie. And not just there, but in many, many layers and levels, we have done this over and over again. This was able to be done to us because we had been demoralized. Let's look at that word demoralized a different way. What did Cain do? Cain went out of the presence of God and started his city-state, where he and eventually Lamech and Nimrod oppressed the people. He went out of the presence of God. He was demoralized. You see, when God hates sin. When you're demoralized, when you accept something as okay that is immoral, not righteous, you can't see the truth anymore. You simply will not see the truth. Even if I lay it out before you, you will not see it, nor will you accept it. While demoralization erodes the very fabric of society, it is only part of the process. Every year there is some steps to keep people off balance and distracted. This destabilization. So these are different steps, but they're actually overlapping steps because you keep making them and you go farther and farther down. So you'll have these other things that distract you. Vietnam War or peace demonstration. Doesn't matter. That's the dialectic. Go either way. War on poverty. War on drugs. Immigration or bigotry. Fear of terrorism. Terrorism, terrorism, terrorism. That's all you heard there for a while. The ups and downs of economic progress. Bubble burst bubble. Buyout. Got a buyout too big to fail. All distractions. And then, of course, there's the other immoral and demoralizing distractions in the media. New movies. They're always pushing back the boundaries of moral character. You go look at Psycho, the original, and the girl gets killed in the shower, and all you do is see is kind of this black and white colored water going down the drain, and you realize she's been stabbed and murdered. But in the new ones, you actually see flesh slashing open of naked women because we push back the boundaries. You watch Blast from the Past, and you get a little bit of that sense there that in a period of 20 years, the whole of society is altered. But the fact is the very nature of sin, the nature of mankind, the nature of righteousness, that stays the same. This is why Peter could predict that through covetousness, with feigned words, they would make merchandise of you, human resources. He knew that 2,000 years ago. Now, what you need to know is what reverses that process, and repentance reverses that process, because repentance is a reverse of the direction you're going. So what you need to know is, what does repentance look like? How does that operate? So it doesn't matter whether the Korean War, or the Vietnam War, or the Gulf War, or what war it is, or terrorists, or economic woes left and right. All that's distractions. You're not going to solve, you really can't do anything about those things anyway. You individually. Oh, you can go and campaign for your candidate. How many people have campaigned for this candidate, Ron Paul or whatever, as if he's going to fix things? And he himself says he can't. That is not your salvation. That is not your solution. You really can't do anything about it. It's fine if you want to go campaign. I'm not telling you I'm not political. I'm talking about morality. Those choices you make your own. It's a free society. But what does repentance really look like? Anything that distracts society, occupies the mind of the people, creates an artificial reality, and keeps people from focusing on the real problem of reality and your relationship to it. Ideological subversion turns everything to its advantage as a part of a dialectic and long-range goals which develops its own momentum as the demoralized society is easier and easier to destabilize. So there will be wars and rumors of wars and economic woes and all that stuff that has nothing to do with the solution. It's evidence that there's a problem, but you cannot reverse the river. You need to get on the rock. So anyway, the next step, and he says, the next step, of course, is crisis. It may take only up to 6 weeks to bring a country to the verge of crisis. You can see it in Central America now. This is back again in the 80s. Headline crisis is whether real or imagined, whether at home or abroad, must constantly prod society so as to create both fear and success. Economy crisis, terrorism crisis, oil crisis, spill crisis. There's always something to fill the tabloids, to create controversy, to create the dialectic. The Wall Street occupiers were part of a dialectic. And I wrote an article about it, and you can see it at newsreviews.com. You want to be outside of that dialect, outside of that conflict. Republican, Democrat, doesn't make any difference. Now, you can pursue those if you want, but the reality is those don't make any difference. What's going to make a difference is true repentance and seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. But what does that look like? It's not where you're going to go when you die. Don't worry about tomorrow. It's how you're going to relate to the world today. Are you going to be in the river, tossed to and fro, and banged into these rocks and these events and eventually drowned? Or are you going to step out of the river and be a part of something different? In this crisis category, there is not only billions of dollars, billion-dollar buyouts, housing bubble crisis, and constant inflation, but also millions of minor crises in society. They are minor to society, but often devastating to individuals or individual families. Millions of people lost their jobs while we were talking about the housing bubbles and the bailouts. They lost their life savings. They lost their homes. Sometimes it destroyed their marriages. These are not minor crises. These are major crises to them, and they keep them preoccupied. Now, just making a living becomes a crisis, day-to-day crisis. And so you say, I don't have time. I've got to go bury my dad. I got to go do this. I got to go do that. I don't have time to network like Christ said to network. I don't have time to love my neighbor as myself. I really like my neighbor. I wish them all the best, but I got to go do this now. Why? Because crisis is pulling you away. It's the current of society, never-ending, constant crises. So-and-so is sick. So-and-so is, in pain. So-and-so, I got to go do this. I got to go do that. You got to stop and go and do what is right, what God wants you to do. And only you know what that is. And most of the time, you don't know what that is, so you don't know what to do. So you become like a pinball, bouncing off of this and off of this event and off of that event. And there's no rhyme or reason in what you're doing. You have no control. You are a prisoner in this machine. But if you repent, and we have to get around to talking about what that looks like, but we'll have to do that after the break. We'll be right back.
My name is Mark, and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realized that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean, and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. There, all these things about losing homes and everything, these are nothing but statistics on the nightly news to keep the fires of fear burning in society. You know, wars and economic dearths and what have you. It's just to keep you distracted. To keep you looking at the river and the current and the rocks and all the things that might bump in and destroy your life. Because it's about you, right? No. The greatest growth will be during the greatest crisis. Because there you will see men and women rising to the occasion where they are not putting themselves first. In the recent movie, 2012, was that the name of the disaster film? The ridiculous, unbelievable things, you know, this guy's driving the car through buildings and leaping out windows and landing on the freeway, and it was just unbelievable, but all special effects. But the gangster fella, finally at the very last, everything he did was to save himself and his two sons. Now he had a choice. Save himself or save his son. He saved his son. He sacrificed himself, put himself at risk to save his son. And the fact is, there is the change. Sacrifice. And you have abundant opportunities to do that. But I advise you, start now and avoid the Christmas rush. You have to start sacrificing yourself daily for others, serving others, caring about others. You have to start thinking about others. You know, like on our network, you can join that. Go to thelivingnetwork.org or preparing you or His Holy Church and join the network. It's all same network. Form congregations of record, even if you're a long ways away from people. Form them. Start talking to each other. Start communicating with each other. Start developing those relationships. You're going to be changing the direction of the flow, the mem, the energy that is moving through you. And instead of sucking the life out of everything around you, you're going to start giving life so that you will get life more abundant. And if you do this for righteousness' sake, energy flow will start going the other way. Care of the need is an obligation. Care of the needy is an obligation rather than the result of charity. This is what happens in a society of socialism. What was the difference between the system in Egypt and the system in Israel? The system in Egypt compelled 20% of the offerings of the people by law and provided the social welfare of the people by its own determination. People had no choice. That changed the whole nature of society. When the benefits were withheld, the straw was withheld by the Pharaoh, and the people had to take care of one another through a time of crisis. This changed the society of Israel. When they went out into the desert, this they changed too. They had to create the camaraderie of the kingdom through faith, hope, and charity. In civil society, the care of the needy is compelled by a legal obligation rather than the result of love and charity, as it is and has always been in the kingdom. So if you want to reverse the process, you have to start taking care of the needy in your society by faith, hope, and charity. God does not want crystal cathedrals or big, huge temples of stone and fancy robes and all this big screen TVs. He wants you to sacrifice for one another as He sacrificed for you. Will you do that? If you do that, you're on your way back. It is a sacrifice to home educate your children. It is a sacrifice to participate in home health. It is a sacrifice to take care of the elderly, yourself, in your own community. That is a sacrifice. It is a sacrifice you must be willing to take on if you want a free society. You have to treat it as if you have no other alternative, because you have no other alternative. All other ways lead to death. What is the solution, and would it matter if we told you? Are you already in the dialectic? Yes. And I'm telling you now what the solution is, to repent, to go this other way. And you cannot do that unless you gather together. Because it's not about just giving, but a giving righteously. Because that's what we're seeking, is the righteousness of God, who does not just give indiscriminately. He gives to those who seek His ways. And you should do the same. As Yuri said, exposure to the true information does not matter anymore. A person who is demoralized is unable to assess true information. I'm giving you true information. The facts tell nothing to him, even if they are showered with that information. When an amoral society becomes the norm, the only hope is for those who seek righteousness to come together in a network of selfless pursuits of that righteousness. You have to do that. There is no other alternative. So the next step is to normalize, so that what happens is you're not just normalizing the situation, you're normalizing the idea that your immorality, your demoralization, is actually moral. So you have to accept the idea, well, this is the way we do it. This is how we take care of the needy of society, is we sign up for Social Security and we get this number and we serve this system and we give power to these men. And this is how we do it. And that's normal. But that wasn't normal. We didn't used to do it and people weren't starving in the streets. How did we do it before? We have to go back and learn that again. And Yuri says, and after the crisis, with a violent change of power, structure, and economy, which we had, you know, the bailout, that was violent. You were violently robbed of billions and billions of dollars. Nobody beat you up, but you lost the value that was given away to foreign banks mostly. And you were farther and farther into debt. It's all part of a plan. And it takes a certain kind of people to implement that. But what you have to do, you can't change that. You can change the way in which you relate to society and to your neighbor. And after this crisis with its violent change of power, structure, and economy, you have the so-called period of normalization. It may last indefinitely because it actually is part of a cycle. Normalization is a cynical expression borrowed from the Soviet propaganda. When the Soviet tanks moved into Czechoslovakia in 1968, Comrade Brezhnev said, now the situation in brotherly Czechoslovakia is normalized. He actually used those words, normalized. Immorality is the norm. Acts of simple kindness are cheered as heroic because heroism is not the norm. Selflessness is not the norm. Kindness is not the norm. People are raped and murdered in the streets, and bystanders only video with their phones. Or they scurry off the scene because they don't want to get involved. Window shades are pulled, lights go off, doors are shut. Innocent people are murdered and stabbed to death in the streets. And nobody sees anything. Actually, people see them. I've seen this. I've told stories about this. And I've been told stories by other people, and I've related them to you about a friend who saw a kidnapping in broad daylight on a good street. And he thought, this is like a movie. Nobody's doing anything. People are watching all around. Nobody's doing anything. And he walked up to the guy and he tapped him on the shoulder. And the guy was shocked that somebody actually was getting involved. And he fled the scene. He screamed like a girl and he fled the scene. And the girl throws her arms around this guy's legs. And he doesn't know what to do. And he's kind of reaching over, but she's just sobbing. She can't even talk. Now the people get courageous. They know there's no threat. They saw him come up. But now they can intervene, like they don't even remember the other guy who is dragging her across the yard and the sidewalk into an open car door. They didn't say anything. He saw them standing there. They were completely uninvolved. But now that it was safe to get involved, they come out of the woodwork. You can't save those people. You shouldn't waste your charity on them. I mean, you have to make this as an individual call, but the reality is the poor in spirit, the poor and weak in spirit, you will always have. What you want to look for is the repentant, the people who will invest their time and their lives and tap evil on the shoulder and say, what do you think you're doing? That's who you want to connect with. That's who you want to reach out for. But today, the monkey business is we see nothing, we hear nothing, we say nothing, because we have degenerated, we've devolved as a society, until we are a little more than brute apes, even less, because we have no excuse. Yuri also writes, this is what will happen in the United States if you allow all these, he calls them schmucks, to bring the country to crisis, to promise people all kinds of goodies, and the paradise on earth, to destabilize your economy, to eliminate the principles of free market competition, and to put Big Brother government in Washington, D.C. He is saying this is what is going to happen. It has happened. It's time to go the other way. So you think, what can we do? You can do nothing to change the course of human events. You can do everything to change the course of your events. You can repent. You can turn around. This is all Christ was saying. Love one another. Take care of one another. Provide for one another. Feed one another. Share with one another. This is what he's saying. You have to form congregations of record and become a pillar of service one to another. And you have to do it in an organized fashion, not organized from the top. You have to organize yourself. You have to gather with others yourself. You cannot do this without doing something for others. It is part of that process. It is a process that you must give of yourself on a daily basis to make it work. There is no other way. It is Christ's way. And so, if you want to see the videos and hear him, you can go to preparingyou.com and simply look for Ideological Subversion. And you can even do a word search for Yuri. And we have two pages. We have a page on him and a page on this Ideological Subversion. And we have a number of videos there. And you can watch those videos. So how does this relate to the church? How does this relate to the gospel? Like I said, originally there was this system of civil charity set up by Herod the Great. And he had already been king for a number of years by the time Christ was even born. And his system required that you sign up, and then you had to pay in. If you were a grain farmer, the tax collectors would actually go out and pace off your field and estimate the amount of grain that you would produce, because you had to give a portion of that into the temple. You had to, because you were signed up in this system of Corban set up by Herod. And when you entered that system, you were baptized and registered. And you had to contribute. And this had huge amounts of funds flowing into the temple and allowed Herod the Great to build this big golden temple because he had all these funds. And that's the way that system worked. And that's the way most of the city-states worked. That's why they had these gold statues, is this was their reserve fund. And this was the idols that we were not to worship and serve, bow down and serve. These central banks, that's what they were. Reserve funds. They had a treasury of coins, but they also had these statues. And you had to defend those statues just as you would defend the city-state if it was attacked, because all your wealth was in there. If you fled to another city-state, you had nothing in your pocket. Your wealth was in this common purse. God doesn't want you to do it that way, because that way does not lend itself to the community relationships necessary to maintain and sustain and retain those inalienable rights granted you by God. So he wants you to keep your money in your pocket, but when you contribute directly to a minister whose job it is to take care of the health, education, and welfare, the Small Business Administration, the FEMA Emergency System, the Faith Emergency Ministry Auxiliary. That is what that minister is. He is going to network with all the other ministers so that they can get to a problem with the right resources in a matter of minutes or hours or days to provide your society with the care and comfort that comes from loving one another. The other society bases it on a forced offering, which makes the word of God to none effect. And it's not a free will offering like we see Moses, but an offering like we see in Egypt, where you had to pay in. And that power to force you to pay corrupts government, corrupts the people in government. It does it every time. We have to repent of those ways. Go the other way. Do something differently. Now, that early church, when they got the baptism of Jesus Christ at Pentecost, everybody who got that baptism were cast out of the system of Herod. They couldn't get social welfare payments, free bread from Herod's temple anymore. They had to contribute themselves. And this is what they did. And in the book, Thy Kingdom Come, we show how this system of voluntary charity, not just in some little local community and congregation, there's a number of intentional communities forming. And that's good. That's fine. And they're permaculture oriented, and that's fine. But if you're not thinking kingdom, if you're not linking your permaculture area through charity with all the other permaculture area, the intentional communities, then you're not thinking kingdom. If you're still hoping to collect your Social Security check and your welfare checks and all these things while you live in your intentional community, you don't understand what will make you a free society. You have to remoralize yourself because you've been demoralized. You've thought that it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods. You thought it was okay to go into debt. You thought it was okay to say you believe in Jesus but not do what he said. But that's your demoralization. Now you have to go back the other way. You actually have to start attending to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. I see greater hope for some of these communities that have gone into places like Detroit and bought up whole city blocks and are forming communities there. They're struggling with these issues. And we can help show them what will work. But unless they're willing to let those principles be written upon their hearts and their minds, it won't do any good if I show them. I would gladly go and show them, but it's more important that they become doers of the word. Modern Christians are not doers of the word. They actually have conformed to the ways of Herod and his social welfare system. That's what the church is. It's a social welfare system based on the perfect law of liberty. Free choice in your contributions. No guaranteed checks. But in making those sacrifices for people who would make them for you, you will develop the relationships necessary for that free society. Now, you can wait till society collapses all around you, and then you say, oh, let's do what Brother Gregory says, because that's what Christ says. But early church didn't do that. The handwriting was on the wall by the time Pentecost came, but the entire system had not yet collapsed. They were pilfering the funds. The funds were dissipating because they had started a number of projects that had paid contractors, and there wasn't as much money as there was there before. But the system would be another 30 years before it totally collapsed. We're farther along. I don't think we have 30 years. Maybe we do. But you need to intensively start forming those congregations of record. You need to intensively start contributing to the ministers to go out and help people, just anybody out there in society who needs help, with the intention of converting them with your love. Christ fed thousands of people. He preached the gospel for years until people finally were ready to opt out of one system. But they were ready when that opportunity came, and as a matter of fact, in their preparation for getting ready, helped bring about that opportunity. Because unless the Pharisees said anybody who got the baptism of Jesus Christ is cast out, until they said that, simply getting the baptism of Jesus Christ did not remove the obligations to the temple that you may have already incurred through social contract. Now, we're starting a series, and we're working through the order group, and we're presenting it to them. They're not very active, but hopefully they'll get more active. where we're taking the book Higher Liberty and we're creating a study guide that goes along with it that will actually make the book twice as big, same number of pages, but we're going to bigger format, because we're going to have that study guide, because in going through that, we hope to feed you the meat of the kingdom and begin to understand exactly what it is that Paul was talking about and what Christ was talking about and this gospel of the kingdom and how that operates. But the real learning is going to be learning by doing. It is going to be you working with somebody else to provide the social welfare of your society. We're going to need people in the system to help us do this. We're going to need to possibly form our own His Church credit unions to help people move their debt from existing banks over to the credit union, which can forgive debt. You see, the banks won't forgive debts because they have a constituency that they have to provide an income for. A credit union does not have to worry about income. As a matter of fact, it can't make any income because it's a non-profit. It's a non-profit bank. And so, then there's a lot of other things, and we'll talk about that. And we can show you, actually in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that this was a part of the salvation of society. But the real salvation comes when you change your ways. Change your way of looking at one another and relating to one another and taking care of one another. You can do it cheaper. You can do it better. You will see mystical healings taking place. But you have to walk the walk together, individually, together. And this is very important that you start that process. No matter how small you start it. But you have to start that process. Nobody's going to meet in a room in Pennsylvania and create some sort of document that will suddenly set you free. You will only be free if you change your ways, alter the ways you've been going, turn around, and go the ways of Christ. And that's another webpage. And we need lots of volunteers. We need you to volunteer to be PCMs. Personal contact ministers in your area, help manage the different groups, help bring people onto the group, help learn them. We have courses starting. We have the radio network starting. The radio network, we need to get on more stations. We're on, you know, a dozen times a week, different station. We have podcasts. You can download at any time. But we have no staff. We have no funds to pay a staff. You are the staff. You have to volunteer, whether you're in Las Vegas or in New York or wherever you are. You have to volunteer and start making these things happen. And you have to create that communication. When I talk about radio network, though, I was referring to our amateur radio network. I have a number of new people on that. And this is an alternative means of communicating if the phones were down, etc. And some of these stations will be mobile and some of them not. But it's part of the deal. Because we have to start taking back, we have to start taking back our responsibilities by doing what needs to be done ourselves in a voluntary system. Because only our voluntary systems free society. Unless you have a voluntary system, you will not have a free society. And you cannot be slothful in that. You must be diligent in that. And until we meet again, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.